Good evening. Hello and welcome to the HIV Hour on this Thursday evening. We're doing Zoom today, obviously. I'm with Sue today.
We are.
Yes. It's been a while.
We're Zooming this evening, aren't we?
We are, yeah. Zooming. I've been Zooming off here and hither, hither and thither and everything. So, yeah, welcome to the HIV Hour, 97.2 FM on Radio Reverb and RadioReverb.com if you listen to on the interweb.
Isn't it not called the internet anymore? I'm old school, Josh.
I'm going to go with the interweb.
I bet we got some of our listeners that are like, they're probably saying, yeah, I know what you mean, so old school.
The interweb. How are you anyway, Sue? What have you been up to?
Yeah, very good. Yes. Before we went on air, we were just talking about it was HIV testing week last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So, and I know we had the lovely Philip from the Terence Higgins Trust in Brighton giving us the lowdown. And we were just sort of reflecting on that. I know we're going to be chatting about, you know, how it went and how it went for Brighton and Hove.
Yeah, I think it's quite a significant thing, isn't it, this year? Because with opt-out testing at A&Es and trying to get people to test is so important at the moment.
I know.
It's always important, isn't it?
It's always important, but it's nice to sometimes just have a refocus, isn't it? Because, you know, we do so many things with, you know, what we do on the radio and what we do in the HIV sector, and also, the community side, you know, the HIV community side, what we all do. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes we have to sort of relook at what we're doing, because there's still so much to do, isn't there, to get people tested, to break down the stigma, to hopefully come towards that 2030 goal we're all hoping.
Well, it's not long off, is it, really?
HIV transmissions, you know, but yeah. Mm.
It's not a long time off now, is it, 2030?
No.
It's still 4 years. Yeah, so it's very interesting. I know they've getting various people on to do some, I think THT are doing that, on the Terence Higgins Trust have been doing that.
Yes.
Getting celebrities on to push them.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and so, what you know, we sometimes get criticised, actually, Josh, but you're spending all this money on A, B and C, but you know what, those A, Bs and Cs and Ds and Es and Fs will generate our public message to a wider audience, right? So we all want the same, don't we? We all want a stigma-free society of people living with HIV. We all want everybody in care living with HIV on medication and not feeling stigmatised, right? Yeah. We all want all the new generation to know about HIV and how it's everybody's business. We have to really step outside of some of these comfort zones, even in a charitable organisation. What can we do to get all those things? Yeah, we've invested money in some celebrities, but I tell you what, we're starting to see the feedback from that, and it's tough. You know, we've done a lot, haven't we, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not just talking about the Terence Higgins Trust. But there's still corners we need to reach, you know, people that are not having the correct information about HIV and maybe living with HIV and don't know their status. So it's a time, you know, I think testing week, you know, I think we really did try and pull out some of the stops to try and to focus on why it's so important to test and to continue to send their messages. Am I rambling on a bit?
Nothing new there, dear. Nothing new there. You're on your pedestal.
I've just jumped off. You're right.
No, it's important. And, you know, these people, you know, people who don't have local support teams or places to go to talk about HIV or this, it's so important to have these weeks. But also, it's what Philip said in the interview last week, HIV testing is every week, isn't it?
It is. For a lot of charities, it is, you know. But obviously, we send out certain focuses, and then I did work with some amazing people last week, a lot of heterosexual people, Josh, that, you know, were doing interviews about how they got diagnosed and how their communities are maybe not overrepresented, and maybe that's why maybe some people from the heterosexual community are still thinking that it doesn't affect them, but it's those voices And it's not just from the Town Seekers, just as from all the other amazing charities in Brighton and Hove that are stepping up and saying, look, you know, listen up. It's
Yeah.
happening to all of us, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Good message. So on the show, we're going to have a song in a minute, and then we'll go straight into a great interview that David did with Gary Pardister, who's works for Lunch Positive, and somebody else, a well-being worker at Lunch Positive called Sally Clark. So he did a
All
great
right,
interview.
lovely.
So we'll go straight into that after this next song. Then another song, and then we've got a few stories, haven't we, to let our
We
listeners
have.
listen to
Yeah.
from around the
Yes,
world and
definitely.
national. So shall we get on with the show?
Let's get on with it.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
So welcome to the HIV Hour on Brighton 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area. I'm here at Dorset Gardens Methodist Church, which is the base of Lunch Positive, and I'm here to interview Gary, and Gary's got some exciting news to tell us. Gary, hello there.
Hello, David. Good to see you again.
So what can you tell us about what's been going on in Lunch Positive?
Well, Lunch Positive's been developing, as we have for several years, with some great new advances around health and well-being. And thanks to some funding from the Brighton and Hove City Council and the NHS, we've now been able to develop that mission around health and well-being, and employ a worker who is entirely dedicated to supporting our members around their well-being and their wider needs. And it's great, and it's having great impact already.
Well, that's wonderful news. So I think my listeners may remember I went to the community lunch, which you had in November, just before World AIDS Day. And we did have a little sort of sneak preview of the well-being worker who's in place. And I think she'd just been in post just a few hours even. So I think, would you like to introduce her?
Yeah, I'd love to introduce Sally Clark, our new well-being worker, who's doing some fantastic work with the community, people living with HIV and our volunteers.
Hello, Sally. Good to meet you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, David.
Good. Nice. So we met you and you just started in post. It was a really busy day, wasn't it, at the community lunch?
It was.
But you were really looking forward to getting stuck into the role. What have you been doing?
Well, I have been in my role as the well-being worker. So I have been trying my hardest to make it really easy for people who haven't been before to come to Lunch Positive. So I've been doing that by making it as accessible and inclusive as possible. So I've been meeting people if they at the front door, for example. So kind of coming to a new building can feel really scary for some people.
Yes.
So, you know, I want to say as well, it's not, you don't, to come to Lunch Positive, you don't need to be feeling super sociable or confident. Just however you come, it's fine. Okay. So reach out to me. There's lots of spots in Lunch Positive that are quiet. We can sit somewhere quiet, you know, to begin with. You can stay for 5 minutes. Or you can stay for 3 hours. I've also been meeting people at home. So, you know, if that's easier for you, I can come and see you and I can tell you about our services. One person I met, he came to the door. We went and had a cup of tea in a local cafe, and he came back and, you know, stayed for a little bit of lunch. So, yeah, I would say to anybody that's just like wanting to find out what Lunch Positive is about, just, you know, get in contact. I'll help to make it easier. We've got lots of amazing volunteers here as well. So their role as well is to help with that process. And the great thing about Lunch Positive is the amazing peer support. So, you know, we've got people who, you know, have been diagnosed for, how long have you been diagnosed for, Gary?
30 plus years. I lose count sometimes. Yeah.
And then we've got as well, so recently we had somebody who had very newly been diagnosed. Like, I think it was, he came 2 weeks ago. And, you know, and so just being around other people who are living with HIV and understand it, I think that that's such a key thing about Lunch Positive. Yeah, so, and the other things that I'm doing in my role. So if I'm doing something called social prescribing.
Right.
So that means if people want, you know, they're struggling with something and want a little bit of extra support, I could signpost them to other services. It can be things sometimes, we've been doing a lot recently over the winter around like helping people out with the cold weather.
Mm.
So we've been referring people to an organisation called BESCO. Or I've had things like where people just want to go to another group. So somebody, for example, asked if about the local choirs, and there's loads of choirs in.
There are,
right. So many cool choirs. Somebody wanted to find out about volunteering in a garden. So, you know, I can talk to you about whatever it is you want. So it could be referring you onto other nice activities, sporty things, or helping you with stuff you're struggling with. So, you know, I'm here to help with those things. I mean, I'm also doing a dropping at the Lawson on Tuesday afternoon. So today I'm going there.
Right.
So
yes.
I'm there as well. So I can talk to you, and if there's any signposting you need or help with anything. So anything that you're finding difficult,
yeah.
I don't have all the answers, but what I can do is I can refer you on to other services.
That's brilliant news. I mean, so people can actually meet you face to face at the Lawson unit, which is wonderful, isn't it? So if they want to get to know you first before coming to Lunch Positive. And if you're newly diagnosed, it can be quite daunting going to community groups that you've never been to before. Or not, even if you had HIV, as you said, for some time, you may have been in a relationship which has ended, and you feel isolated, or at any time in your journey of living with HIV, that Lunch Positive is there to care for you and just offer support, and you know, through you know, the community work that you do in different cities as well. It's that, you know, the nutrition, it's wonderful, isn't it?
It is. And you know, there's hardly a week goes by when we don't have new or returning people coming through the door, or existing service members who state how much it means to have a space that is their own, where they're with their peers, where they're absolutely at ease with their lives and their lives with HIV, and where they know they'll find support from all those people around them, you know, and in Brighton and Hove and those other towns across Sussex that we work in. So, testament to Sally, Sally's role, and the volunteers and the members themselves, of course, who make all this happen in the space.
Because it is, as in your tagline and your logo says, you know, it's all about community, isn't it? You know, you're part of the community, you're openly living with HIV as the CEO of Lunch Positive. Many of your volunteers are living with HIV. You're working with other HIV organisations with your wellbeing work. It's fantastic news. So as we know, many people enjoy volunteering with Lunch Positive. How does a member become a volunteer?
Well, volunteering to Lunch Positive is absolutely fundamental to our work. The whole organisation is formed around volunteering. In fact, you know, for the first 6 or 7 years, everybody was a volunteer. And we've developed some incredible expertise around that, around bringing people into being with others, finding confidence and developing their skills around volunteering. Sally's role is absolutely key to advancing that volunteering mission. And probably Sally's best to talk about how that works, and how we invite people in and make them welcome and help them enjoy their time with us.
Yeah, Sally, tell us more about that.
Yeah, no, so that's another really big part of my role. So I coordinate the volunteers. So we have many volunteering roles at Lunch Positive. So you can become a front of house volunteer, which means kind of helping organise the space and chatting to people when they arrive, and listening is a big part of it. We have people who volunteer in the kitchen, so helping to cook the food, prepare the food, doing the dishes. We also have like a volunteers social prescribing champion. So that's where we're working together to do the referring and signposting to other services. We try and we are a very inclusive volunteer program. So we don't put barriers up. We want to make it as inclusive as possible for people to come and volunteer. And it's a great place to volunteer. Like Gary said, if you volunteer at Lunch Positive, you become part of a really nice team of volunteers. There's amazing cohesion within the group, and people socialise together and get on really well. So if you want to find out about volunteering, you're going to give everybody my email address, aren't you?
Yes, so. Yes. So it's sally.clark, that's Clark with an E, at lunchpositive.org. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Fantastic.
Yes, so get in contact, and you know, we're always open. You know, we want people to, if possible, do some of the practicalities to volunteer 2 sessions a month, and we do have like an induction process.
Yes.
So actually, this week we're running our induction training. Gary and I are doing that together. You know, we do confidentiality is important. You know, safeguarding is important. So we cover all that kind of stuff in our induction. But I mean, the fact that people volunteer here for years and years and years and years just proves how much of an enjoyable experience it is. So
yes, it does. I with my question to Gary, I may have given the impression that you have to be living with HIV to be a volunteer. That's not the case. You can you know, be an ally. You know, you may know nothing about HIV and still be a volunteer here, and you learn on as you go, don't you?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, it's great having the people who are living with HIV for the peer support, but that's not a problem if you haven't got HIV. Just, you know, being enthusiastic, happy to get stuck in with the washing off a little bit. And, good, you know, listening and communication skills. But really, if you just want to give it a go and you're thinking about volunteering, you know, do get in contact. You know, we do another really big part of what we do at Lunch Positive is the fundraising events. So that then includes the volunteers. The volunteers are amazing here. Yeah. You know, I've never worked in an organisation where there is so many amazing volunteers that do so much of the, you know, operational work. So, for example, we have a food van at Pride. And this was just when I kind of first started with a burger van, don't we, Gary? And it was just run. So all the money that we made from that goes straight back into Lunch Positive. Yes. Everybody's doing it voluntary.
But also it gets Lunch Positive seeing that community events, which aren't necessarily associated with HIV. So I noticed that, you know, you're present at Bear Pride, aren't you? The Bear Weekend and other events throughout the city, Disability Pride, Trans Pride.
Absolutely. We really value those connections with the wider community, being part of other events, fundraising, raising awareness of our work. Fundraising and the support for people living with HIV in the city. So it's great to be out there, and lots of opportunities to ask us to come along if you're thinking of it.
Fantastic. And one more thing, you mentioned social prescribing and the different groups that you get in. So you mentioned BESCO earlier, but you also work with other
The Terrys Higgins Trust come in. So we have two workers come from there. So that's about benefits advice and housing advice.
That's right. So Michael Brimicum from Terrys Higgins Trust.
And Tim, is it Tim Holt? And we also have... We have Mind Out, because it's using a new drop-in. So they are doing advocacy for people from the LGBTQ community. Wonderful. So that's been really good. They've only been in twice, and we've already referred two or three people to them. So are wanting any support with advocacy or any of the services I've just talked about, get in contact with us, because you could come along just on the days that they're in as well, and you know, have a chance to talk to a worker face to face and get some support.
I mean, when you're here on a Tuesday, I've never actually been to Lunch Positive on a Tuesday because it diary clashes with other things. But what goes on a Tuesday compared to what goes on a Friday?
Well, a Tuesday we call a drop-in. It has a slightly different feel about it. It's still very much about bringing people together around a meal and a shared social space. But we have greater opportunity on a Tuesday to provide some one-to-one support for people. So Sally, for example, is available in the morning and over lunchtime to do pick up on one-to-one appointments and assessments around social prescribing or any of that other work. Volunteers also, because of the way we structure the session in a smaller space, with slightly fewer people coming along, but there's more opportunity to have those kind of one-to-one discussions where there's specialist help needed. But still at its core, it's about bringing people together in a community space that has ownership by the people that are here, you know. And it's the peer support is in abundance here, just as it is on Friday and any of the other spaces that we provide. So it's very much about the additional support we provide on a Tuesday one-to-one.
Brilliant. Gary, Sally, thank you both ever so much for coming on the show, and we look forward to hearing more about what Lunch Positive's doing in the future very soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM and DAB and RadioReverb.com online. That was Upside Down by the lovely Diana Ross. It's a bit of a housey track. It's Tasty or Not remix, so it's quite a funky song, that, isn't it, with good old Diana Ross. She's playing at Pride this year, isn't she, Diana?
You just took the words out my mouth, Joe. Coming to Pride, bless her. Yes.
That's coming up soon as well, isn't it? Anyway, that's another story.
Right, I mean, So I've got something interesting to discuss.
Yes.
A police officer, get a load of this, Josh, a police officer from Cardiff in Wales wins huge payout over forces handling of his HIV diagnosis. This comes from a newspaper, Wales Online. He was made to feel like a walking disease at work and awarded more than £40,000 compensation by an employment tribunal. The unnamed officer from Gwent Police was discriminated against and harassed unfavourably by the force. Now, this was when he was disclosing his status. Now, this goes back to 2024 when he done that. So basically, it breached the Equalities Act 2010. And just to make sure that everybody realises, we do have an Equalities Act in place, 2010. So discrimination is illegal, especially if you live with HIV. So just to do a shout up on that. So basically, he was placed on restricted duties, Josh. Restricted duties.
Dreadful, isn't it?
And subject to intrusion questioning because of his diagnosis. He was being asked, about his sexual partners and if he was using a condom.
And this is just to be in the police?
And that, you know, and despite reassurance, the thing is that this was despite reassurance from the NHS HIV specialist that he could safely continue to do frontline work, questions about his sex life and use of condoms. I can't believe it. I'm reading it and I can't believe it. In process, so basically, obviously, he's won and quite, that's right. He said he was put on restricted duties until his viral load and CD4 count were known. Well, first of all, we don't count the CD4. I mean, can you imagine? This has been going on a couple of years.
Yeah, what about everybody else who might have STIs or anything like
exactly,
that?
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Well, obviously, they've turned the tables, and quite rightly, they should have by him getting the payout and what have you. Okay. So now they're in process of implementing HIV training for all officers and staff. They're totally inclusive and blah. God. I mean...
Well, that would have been done already.
You know, and this is 2024.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just want to add on to that, and it seems like a coincidence. I just want to shed a great light on Brighton and Hove. We at the Terence Higgins Trust we're busy. In fact, we had our first training today. We're busy implementing a training within the police force in Brighton,
right.
And that is fantastic news. HIV awareness, this, but it's specialist training, which the Brighton officers. Delivering with obviously some of our Positive Voices speakers. Now, this was all arranged before I seen this story. So I just want to sort of show off and, you know, what we're doing as a city, we're making sure that, you know, our police forces, and I know we do a lot of stuff in London, Josh, but yeah, we're delivering, you know, empowering HIV awareness. So not just within the police force, but, you know, people out on the street there may be assured that our local police forces are up-to-date with the up-to-date information and the scientific research and evidence about HIV. You can't pass it on if you're on medication. You're not going to get it by someone touching, punching you and all of that stuff. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I was really, you know, that I read that story and I thought, well, I could not mention what we're doing in Brighton and Hove because we need to show off.
Yeah, it's interesting to know how it works and how, you know,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that. But in this day and age, I think it would have been not sorted, at least looked at.
Yeah, gosh. Imagine being asked, how many sexual partners you have and are using condoms.
Yeah, that's not good, is it?
And put on restricted duties.
Yeah, how does that make you feel? It's like, you know,
exactly. But yeah. I'm glad he fought it. And won.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think it was about the money. It was about setting a precedent. This cannot happen.
Yeah.
This cannot happen. You know,
so
that will be a model for the future. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to shout and really shout out, don't you?
I know, we do. Out. Why do we still have to do that? But hey ho, we're doing it. Yeah.
We're doing it. That's a new logo. That's not a new logo. We're doing it.
I know.
Anyway,
I know.
I've got a story from UniAIDS rallies African leaders to remain united to end AIDS. So this is in Geneva, it's the 39th African Union Summit. UNAIDS urged African leaders to stay united, keep HIV high on the political agenda, and move towards sustainable financing for health and development. So AIDS is not over in Africa, as we know, and continued African leadership is essential, says Winnie. Now, I'll probably get this wrong, Bayanima. Mm-hmm. She's the executive director of UNAIDS. She says now is the moment to raise ambition, safeguard our gains, and ensure Africa drives the global agenda for a sustainable and sovereign health future. So in 2024, 82% of people living with HIV in Africa were on life-saving treatment, compared with 45% 10 years earlier. So that's great thing. New HIV infections were reduced by 71% since their peak in 94, and AIDS-related deaths were reduced by 75% since the peak in 2004. However, 26.5 million people were living with HIV in Africa in 2024, which represents 65% of global total. 4.8 million of whom were still not accessing HIV treatment. That sounds such a large amount, doesn't it? You say
that? I know.
Yeah, 4.8 million are not accessing HIV treatment. There were 390,000 AIDS-related deaths in 24, representing more than 60% of AIDS deaths globally.
Yeah.
So it's good to have these summits, though, isn't it? Work out what leaders are going to do in different countries.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sort of break the nations down, and what they're doing as a nation, as a country. You know, what are these... You know,
yeah, but have a solidarity. So I
exactly.
I'll just do a few more stats here. Actually, in 2024, 77% of funding for Africa's HIV response came from external sources. Significant disruption to the financing landscape has left serious gaps, particularly for HIV prevention and community health systems, which are often the most reliant on external financing. So we know where's the biggest donor come from. So what's the biggest donor, external donor? Funding. United States, isn't it? So,
yeah. Well, we're allowed to say it.
Yeah, yeah. It says this continues as funding from Africa's largest HIV donor has partially returned, it says in this article.
Right, okay.
So it's one to watch that. And, you know, there's lots of stories going around. And I've seen stories about funding's been brought back, but we're not...
Yeah. Let's wait and see and get a broader picture. And if so, let's celebrate a bit more. But yes, it's quite fragile. It's still quite fragile out there for some countries, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're maybe having a more of impact than what it is in Europe and the UK, you know. Yeah. So
we're watching that, aren't we, at the moment, that story. 22 African countries with support from UNAIDS and partners are developing sustainability and transition plans to secure an increasingly self-reliant HIV response beyond 2030.
Yeah.
Planning for increased domestic investments and accelerated integration into the national health systems of the different countries. I mean, it's quite hard to get all, because it's so many different countries, ideas and support systems, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it's interesting stories from around the world, isn't it, Sue?
It is interesting, yes.
Yeah, we have to have those stories because
because it makes us, because we are, you know, we talk about we're a family in the UK, but if you sort of look a bit wider, you know, we are a family around globally. You know, when we talk about there's over 40 million people, Josh, living with HIV and AIDS around the world, you know, and there's only 112,000 people living in the UK, you know, so there's a bigger picture, isn't there?
Drop in the ocean, isn't it, really, considering?
I know.
Okay, so we're going to have a song, but I'm going to just go through our contact details if anyone's interested.
Yes.
If you want to email us, that's info@hivhour.org. our website, which is designed by Dave, has done it, which is amazing. It's hivhour.org.uk. The show is sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies, which is, we thank him every time, don't we? Mm-hmm, and the station is sponsored by Waves Community Bank. So just getting that out.
Come aboard, sister.
Radio Reverb.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM in the Brighton area, .com online. And again, you can always look up our famous podcasts.
That was a nice song, wasn't it? It was nice to
listen. It was a bit different, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just to say, anyone around the world is listening, thank you for tuning in. I've been checking the podcast's stats, and just a lot of people around the world. So we really appreciate you listening, and I hope we help. And if you need, you know, always contact us on our email if you want to connect with us. It's that's what we're looking for, isn't it, Sue?
Absolutely. You know, we want all those voices and around the world, don't we? Because I know we're not alone, but it's nice to feel not alone, if you know what I mean. Yeah,
I think it's really important, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I've got a few more stories, Sue. So you did I think I wasn't here, so not this Christmas, last Christmas, you did a great story.
Yes.
Well, you did a show on George Michael, didn't you?
We did, yes. Yes, it was a feature, and it was celebrating, I can't remember, X amount of years he'd passed, and it was like a tribute.
And there was a guy
who
did a song, hasn't he?
Did
an album.
Yeah. 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 We were doing all things George Michael, weren't we? On that show. It was a really lovely show. I enjoyed that one.
Do you remember The Lovelies?
And we had Philip doing an interview with The Lovelies, didn't we? I remember that.
Yes, a little story here. They've been raising money for charity. They've raised $279,000 for charity.
Wow.
So I'll tell you, the listeners who they are. Meet Lovelies Help are a group of women united by their love of the music star George Michael, who have raised over $279,000, which I say, for charity over the last 9 years. This includes $46,500 for Terence Higgins Trust, of which $25,000 was to support THT Direct, which is really important.
Yes, which is
vital. Yeah, which is amazing, isn't it? And they're going to carry on. They're going to keep going, and they just want to keep going with raising money for people. And the Lovelies are George fans. That's why they call themselves the Lovelies, I think.
Do you know how they raised some of that money as well? Earlier, that they were selling some of his memorabilia. Memorabilia. Yeah, that's where it sort of started, I believe, I've got my information right. So they started selling George Michael memorabilia. And, back in the early days when they started fundraising and, creating great, great funds for organisations. I say, they've done some amazing stuff for the Terence Higgins Trust,
They do auctions, don't they? They've done auctions, like you're saying.
And
check them out on Facebook. So it's, I would put lovelies.help, I think. To get into that. But it's also good to have George Michael as their, their focal, as a hero, isn't it? Amazing person, amazing talent.
I still can't believe he's gone, can you?
I miss him, actually. I mean, his music's amazing, isn't it, to be honest?
Yeah, he's just, one of those, all the great ones have gone too soon, but
Yes, so that's a good, nice little story. Also, our friend Jonathan Blake, who's been on the show.
Yes.
He's going to unveil the UK AIDS Memorial Quilt in Runcorn, which is it Lancashire, Runcorn? Up north.
Up north somewhere.
Mm. Yeah. So it's going to be a powerful cultural exhibition which runs from the 23rd of February to the 9th of March, and it will honour the people lost to the AIDS crisis in Runcorn.
Mm-hmm.
The rare public display of the panel from the UK AIDS Memorial Quilt.
Yeah.
So the launch of the exhibition will be held at St Andrew's Church Linkway, and that's in Runcorn, on Saturday the 28th of February from 2 till 5, offering a community a poignant opportunity to reflect on the lives commemorated through the national treasure. This national treasure, which is Jonathan Blake.
Yeah, no, I mean, he literally is a national treasure. I mean, I always ask him, when are you going to retire? I'm not going to retire. I mean, he's doing still so much. He's starting to sort of slow down a little bit because sometimes, our legs and our joints stop us from doing things we'd like to do. But he's still an amazing advocate for, he'd done some work with us for history for history. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, you know, he was one of the first just after Terry Higgins, Josh, diagnosed with HIV. And that's he right. really tells a legacy story on, you know, what he's like a witness, you know, what was happening, what happened, and how not going on to AZT saved him, and really miraculous. And also, obviously, the campaigning and story he done with the miners, you know, yeah. the miners story.
It's Pride, yeah. wasn't it, the film, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Pride, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, so.
Just all part of our history, isn't it? And, you know.
I know. Yeah.
No. Uh-huh. So yeah, he'll be opening the exhibition in Munkholm. So if you're around that area, check it
yeah.
out. Yeah. Big community news actually now, Sue. Did you watch The Traitors?
Do you know? I know I'm going to get a slap, but I haven't watched any of The Traitors. Sorry.
I didn't watch it when it first came out. I didn't really want to watch it, but then I got into it for my family.
Did you?
Yeah, they got me into it, and I can't stop watching it now. So it's very good.
Oh my god! Sorry, everyone.
So the last series, there was a the last, which was a Christmas, a New Year. There was a lady from Brighton called Amanda who works for the police, and she's doing a half marathon, Brighton half marathon. So
fabulous.
Yeah. So statistically speaking. So Amanda and her wife, Caroline, will be running for hashtag Team Beacon. So that's on the 1st of March. So the couple toured the charity's Brighton facility, meeting staff and hearing about its future plans to support people living with HIV. Also, Ollie Alexander is announced as the official race starter.
Yes, I heard. Good old Ollie. Yes.
Just want to get him on the show, actually. But it'd be a lovely time just to have a chat with him if he can come on.
Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Mm. So Ollie Alexander's involvement has already generated a significant buzz around the event, with organizers confirming he will set runners off at Hove Lawns before tackling the route past the iconic landmarks, including the Palace Pier, the Royal Pavilion, the West Pier, and obviously the I-360. The event is the single largest annual fundraiser for the Sussex Beacon, raising more than a pound. More than a million.
Hope so.
It's just how it was written, it looked like a pound. Raising more than a million each year for charities across Sussex and beyond. So
that's good. All good stuff, isn't it?
That's in then a week or two, isn't it? So. Do you fancy doing it?
No. I've done the walks. I've done my fun runs.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. I'm just not a runner, mate. I just don't think I can do it.
Yeah, yeah. No.
I'd rather just sit and watch.
I've done the Heroes run about 10 years ago.
I remember you doing that. Did you have a bee outfit on?
Yeah, I did. I done it in Wonder Woman. My Wonder Woman's outfit. I wore it for years afterwards.
Why not, Sue?
I couldn't get rid of it. I loved it.
Yeah, it's just fun things to do. I could do something like 5K, I think, probably.
Yes. I've done me bit in the past.
Yeah. With a record number of Team Beacon runners this year. The charity is aiming to surpass its 2025 fundraising total of 120,000. The weekend will also include a dedicated wheelchair race and a series of youth races for runners aged 7 to 17. I'm not sure whether you can still apply, but I'd go onto the website of Sussex Beacon to have a look.
Yeah, just to inquire, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really what's happening. Anything you want to add, Sue? Any community news? Anything you want
to... I mean, we've got some things coming up. We've got the conference of people living with HIV. Isn't that on 13th of June, if I got it correctly?
Yes. It's a Saturday, isn't it?
Yes, it's Positively UK's hosting. You go on their website... they're always usually quite informative conferences that anyone can attend. You have to fill out an application, but that's anyone's interest. I'll be going, and I don't know whether Anyone else?
From... We're going.
Right, you're going. Brilliant. Okay, good.
So, and then you've got Beaver Conference in Liverpool, and that's
yes,
end of April. Me and David are going to go to that, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you off to the Beaver Conference?
Not this year, no. Not this year, no.
Is it the British HIV Association, isn't it? That's
what it stands for, absolutely. I always get a bit confused because there are quite a lot of letters in it, yeah.
It's a good conference, isn't it? It's good to go on.
Yes, it is. Yeah, okay. But I said the one in London for people living with HIV, it's, I think if you were to register, I think it's a conference more sort of geared up for if you're actually living with HIV, right. You're going to meet a lot of like-minded, not just people, but organisations and support systems and all of that. And it would be one to go to, I'd recommend. I have been to them before.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to go, just go and support and get them just...
Mm.
Our next show, Sue, is a special, isn't it? You're doing... Last year we did the... I'm going to get it wrong. International Women's Day. I got it right.
That's correct. Yeah, International Women's Day, yes.
So we're doing another one this year, aren't we? So
yeah, we're going to do... Some, we're going to try and follow what we've done last year. Obviously, it's going to be slightly different. And, we've got some exciting interviews lined up. I've already done one with an empowering woman. Yeah. But yes, I mean, I don't know whether we're able to talk about what we've got featured coming up on the HIV Hour. And Agony Aunt, are we able to mention that?
Yeah, but, I mean, we're bringing an Agony person in, aren't we?
And we are. Mm.
Sure, I think they're going to be on... your show that
yes yes
about it. I think if anyone has got a question, they want something that they don't know something about and they want to ask, please send it to our email.
Yeah, and maybe some people may have some tips on how we can actually celebrate it for them, yeah. And for others, you know. Well, I know we've come up with good ideas, but we've always got a listening ear for any better ideas. How can we celebrate International Women's Day within the HIV community? So I'm all ears. I'm open ears. Open ears.
Open ears. Yeah, yeah, it's really important. I think if anyone wants to even present and is interested in presenting.
Be part of the show.
Contact us. It's you know, yes. We won't bite, but we say, well, you might.
No, honestly, if you fancy yourself doing what Josh and I are doing and David and all the other guys and girls, I mean, contact us. You know, we're always interested in getting new people on there, sharing their thoughts, their voices, their stories, you know, for a larger community. Do contact us.
Yeah, do. It's info@hivhour.org.uk is our email. Also on Facebook as well, so you can always just put HIV Hour in. We've come to the end, Sue, so you chose a great song for the last track.
Can I just quickly say why I've chosen this song?
Absolutely.
Not saying too much, but I lost my dear sister-in-law a couple of weeks ago, and this is dedicated to her daughter, who is my niece, who has been a power of strength. She was with her right to the end, Josh.
Aww.
And she died of cancer. And I was just thinking of her, you know, what, and she's a hero, you know. Well, all siblings are heroes, but she was a complete hero and continues to be, you know. Yeah. So it's just a dedication by Dave, obviously, David Bowie singing it. And it was, just lovely. Thought I'd mention.
That's tribute, that lovely song as well. It's a great song.
Yes.
So here is, thanks for tuning in, and we'll be with you in a couple of weeks, aren't we?
Yes, take care, everyone.
Yeah, take care, have a nice weekend. And here's David Bowie with your words.
Thank you, take care.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.